to chat or make a comment on mining in Alaska, or perhaps you just want to take a few minutes out and talk a little bit about your particular interest in Alaska and its mining industry. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Going to have a very interesting show for you this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I have Oria Hayden here to as my guest in the studio, and she's going to join us here in just a few minutes. But of course, I know that all of you out there are waiting for what we do at the beginning of Alaska Gold Trails, and that of course is have a little contest where you can win valuable prizes. And as you know, for many weeks now we've been offering an incentive of a 1 ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. And it's interesting to note that Oxford Assaying and Refining is not only one of the sponsors that support this program, but they have consistently provided these prizes as an additional effort to interest the listening audience. You know, of course, that Oxford Assaying and Refining has been around for a number of years, has been responsible for the purchasing of gold from the miners as they have brought it in from the mining claims. And in addition to that, they also have investment gold and silver available, as well as access to platinum. They not only do they have investment gold, silver, and platinum, they also have gold and silver coins and ingots available in a variety of sizes, all the way from 1/10 ounce up to bars weighing 100 ounces. So if you're interested in coins and bars of precious metal, Oxford Assaying and Refining is the place to go. And of course, they're located at 208 Wendell Street, and their phone number is 456-3967. That's 456-3967, and I understand that they will be closed until next Tuesday. However, one other item that you might want to be aware of, that is, of course, Oxford's quote line, and that is 452-7858. And today we're going to give away as our prize an Oxford ingot, one of the rectangular ingots that Oxford provides. And so the question here today, of course, somebody out there in Radioland is going to have to do, what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to do an ad. However, I'm not sure who we should do right off. Do you want to do, we want to know who this person is, where they're located, and what they do. And when we say what they do, we want to know in detail what they do. The number of this particular sponsor is 456-6156. I'd like for you to find out who they are, where they are, where they're located precisely, and exactly what they do. And if you can obtain that information, give us a call here at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. We'd be happy to hear from you. And let's talk about that sponsor that's located at 456-6156. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? You're on the air. Huh? Good. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, that's Gabe's Truck and Auto.
That's Gabe's Truck and Auto. Well, you got the first one third right. What's the next one?
The what else do I have to do?
Oh, well, you got to tell me who they are, where they are, and what they do.
One of the finest auto repair shops in town. They have the policy on the IM inspection, no pass, no pay.
Oh, I like that part. Where are they located?
They're located out on Van Horn Road, off of Van Horn at 2058 Donald Avenue.
You know, that's the most precise address that I've ever received on Gabe's Truck and Auto. Generally, they reference it out by Metro Field or something like that. But give me that address one more time. I've got to write that down for my own use.
What is 2058 Donald Avenue.
2058 Donald Avenue, and that's right off of Van Horn, right?
You bet.
Yeah, and besides the IM inspection, can you give us a little more information regarding what they do?
Well, they do muffler repairs, brake jobs, you name it, top to bottom.
Uh-huh.
Turn your rag into a ride, they say.
I love that one. In other words, they're an all-around service area where you can take your vehicle, whether it's a small one or a large one, and you can get it repaired. And we want to also make mention of the quality out there. Personally, I've traded with Gabe's for a number of years now, long before Alaska Gold Trails ever came on the air, but I've had tremendous success with their repairs. I've never had a case where their repair job went haywire. So in addition to that, anything else that you can say?
I don't know what else to say, except they do it all.
They do it all. Yes, sir, my friend. And what is your name?
My name is Bob Boswood.
Okay, Bob, let me just write this down. And how do you spell your last name?
B-O-S-W-O-O-D.
I'll tell you what, Bob. Why don't you stop up here at KFAR. We're located in Washington Plaza. And pick up the certificate that will permit you to go over to Oxford Assaying and Refining, 208 Wendell Street. And pick up that 1 ounce silver ingot. How's that?
You bet. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This afternoon, as I pointed out earlier, our guest is Oria Hayden. And I want to take a moment now that she's all settled into her chair and in front of the microphone to welcome her to Alaska Gold Trails. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails, Oria.
Thank you.
And, Oria, you know, I got to ask you that number one question I ask all the people. Sometimes I ask the ladies this question, and they're not so eager to give me the answer. When were you born, Oria? Well, you can also tell us where you were born.
I was born in the old St. Joe's Hospital in downtown Fairbanks before it was remodeled and added on to. During the spring of 1922, and it was the flu epidemic. Many people were dying at that time.
Oh, is that right? That St. Joe, the old St. Joseph mm-hmm. Hospital. Now, is that located there at right next to the river off of
Cushman? In the location of the Denali Bank building.
On
behind the Catholic Church.
Right, right. Okay, that particular. Hospital, when did they close that hospital, by the way, just quickly? Do you recall? In the spring of 1922, there was a flu epidemic going on, and tell us what the effect of that was on you during that period of time.
Well, according to what the doctors tell me, my mother had the flu, and her body's resistance didn't cover me, so I've always had trouble with the flu. Usually end up in the hospital with this disease whenever it comes around, so I really have a hard time.
You really have a hard time with the flu then, huh?
Right.
And so you were born in Fairbanks, Alaska, and have you lived here all your life, or did you go out? Or
what? No, I went with my mother when I was 18 months old to Seattle. She was expecting my sister at that time, and my sister was born in Seattle.
Uh-huh. And how long did that flu epidemic last, by the way?
Oh, I would say it lasted about a year.
Uh-huh. And then when you went out, how long did your mother just stay for a short period till your sister was born, or did she?
No, she stayed, and father and mother were separated.
I see. And how long did you live then outside? Where was that?
We lived in Seattle until I was around 10. We moved to Bothell, Washington at that time. And then my sister and I left Bothell and came back to Fairbanks alone on the Alaska steamship Alaska.
What year was that
In August 1935.
August of 1935.
Mm-hmm. We landed in Fairbanks on August the 22nd or 3rd.
You know, I've had a number of guests that have spoke about traveling the Alaska steamship route, and is it correct that ended up in Valdez?
Valdez.
Yeah, was there another spur that went on to some other port? It seemed to me that sometimes you could go to Seward or something like that. There was one.
Well, that could be. I'm not familiar with that.
I think perhaps that occurred. The line went to Seward as soon as the railroad was built. So that might have been it. So you came by the steamship. Tell me, what kind of ride was that? Was that, seems to me when I think about these old-time ships, I think it's kind of crude and perhaps not very hospitable.
Well, the Alaska was a small ship, a small cruise ship. It was really decked out as a cruise ship. We had a beautiful dining room with white linen tablecloths and flowers on the table, and we were appointed busboys to take care of us in our rooms and different ones in the dining room, and they saw to our every need, and they would have dancing and a cocktail lounge. In fact, I think they were very similar to the first ferries in the marine system before they made the changeover.
Uh-huh. So you, actually, that was almost a pleasure cruise then, rather than...
Except that I was seasick most of the time.
You know, it's interesting to note that my other guests have also indicated that they became seasick. What was it? One of them said, oh, we fed the fishes. That's terrible, isn't it? when you got to Valdez, how did you get to Fairbanks? Was there a road? The road was
okay,
open?
There was a bus driver. Rolly was our bus driver, and he met us, and he looked for us at the dock and came and told us that he was to take care of us on the road to Fairbanks. And he took care of all of our meals and our lodgings. We stayed over one night in the roadhouse. And stopped for all of our meals on both days.
Uh-huh. What were roadhouse again? Did you stay at? That wasn't.
You mentioned.
It's not Paxson or Black Rapids.
The one outside of Valdez.
Oh, okay. The one at Thompson Pass.
Thompson Pass, mm-hmm. Right? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. So now, total length of time to travel from Valdez to Fairbanks then was what? 2 days.
2 days.
2 days. And was there anything exciting that occurred, or was it just kind of a...
Well, it was a beautiful trip for my sister and I. We didn't know what to expect. We were too young when we left, and we really had no idea, but it was... everybody was so nice and friendly and explained everything to us, and we kept watching for wild animals. I must say that when my mother first came to Alaska with my father... And that was 5 years before I was born. It took them a week to come up over the trail. He had one of Bobby Sheldon's Fords, and it would keep breaking down, and he would have to get out, and the road would be muddy, and he'd have to get out and cut logs and corral the road and do a lot of little things. So Mother would take her sack of oatmeal out and cook it while he was busy working on the car or the road.
Perhaps we should explain that, was this a brand new car that he was driving up from Valdez?
I really don't know.
It's doubtful that it was a brand new one.
Mm-hmm.
The year was 1917.
Mm-hmm.
And the road was not paved.
That's right.
And there were many...
It was a trail in those days.
It was a trail. And so we want to bring this, kind of build the atmosphere for the listening audience so that they'll recognize that what was coming up that road was a little old, perhaps Model T type vehicle.
Right.
One of the original vehicles that gained popularity.
Right.
In the early part of this century, and that the road was probably filled with mud ruts that approached very close to the bottom of the chassis of the vehicle. So, and then tires in those days weren't as durable as they are today either, were they?
That's true. They certainly weren't.
Okay. We were talking about the trip that you took in the bus. Did you have any flat tires or any inconveniences?
No, I don't remember any inconveniences. Everything went really smooth.
Okay. When you arrived in Fairbanks, what was your first impression?
I thought it was the best town in all of Alaska.
Do you still feel that way?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. You've lived here ever since that time, have you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You've probably had a lot of experiences and can tell us a lot about what went on through those years. You arrived in 1935, August.
Mm-hmm.
What, you thought it was the greatest town in Alaska, but what was it like? Did it have, there was no pavement on the streets?
A little.
A little bit.
Just a little bit around 2nd Avenue and Cushman. Just
uh-huh.
a very little bit. But mostly there were wooden sidewalks.
Uh-huh. You know, when I first came, 2nd Avenue was paved, and Cushman was paved up to Gaffney. Now, that was the only pavement in town, if I recall correctly. Was the town, we see frame structures now, we see all kinds of different modern structures that have been put into place here in Fairbanks. In the days when you came to Fairbanks, what was it like? What kind of structures were there? You know, when I envisioned Fairbanks back in the say, 1930s, I envision older type frontier town with a lot of log structures.
That's right. Many log structures, but there were some frame buildings, too.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, there was the courthouse, which is called the Courthouse Square now, which was a cement building.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Oria, I think you have a caller, so let's see what they have to say. Hi. Oria, our caller left. Well, tell us more about the courthouse now.
It was a cement building, cement block, evidently.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And are we talking about the... We're not talking about the current...
The what they call a courthouse square today.
There on Cushman.
On Cushman.
And second?
On Cushman and 2nd Avenue and 3rd.
Uh-huh.
Between 2nd and 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell the listening audience where we're at. I'm here with Oria Hayden, my guest today on Alaska Gold Trails. And if you have a question of Oria or would like to make a comment, the number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. When I was a young lad, a lot of the people in Fairbanks gathered in that building. If I'm not mistaken, the post office was in that building along with the courts. Had a neat elevator in it, too.
Yes.
I guess it still does. That building was here.
Yes.
In terms of areas in the Fairbanks district here, were there little areas? It seemed to me like off of Minnie Street was called, what did they call that area there? It was called a specific kind of area, like where I live now is called Lameda. I think this off of Minnie Street was called.
Well, I lived on 2nd and Noble, and other than Grail.
Grail, yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And were those for the most part log structures in that area, or were there
Yeah, yes.
At that time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. There was a big nightclub over there that was all logs, and. The ballroom floor was filled with mirrors.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. What was the tone of the town? What were the people like?
The people were extremely friendly. And if you went downtown on an errand to buy groceries, get your mail or whatever, it took you hours to go a few blocks because you knew everyone and everybody had to talk to you. Find out what was going on in your family and how you felt and just carry on a wonderful conversation.
And it had to bring you up to date on what they'd been
right.
doing too, huh?
Uh-huh.
Sure, so it took you hours.
So friendly. Oh, I just couldn't get over that.
Yeah. We still have a tad of that here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's fun to recall walking out of a store and into a parking lot to get in the car and have somebody that I know stop me, and then it seemed like a few minutes went by, but in reality an hour and a half went by as we sat there in the parking lot talking about everything that was going on. So, and that's the kind of thing that happened consistently here in the Fairbanks area in what, after 1935.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And also the telephone operator knew where you were and where everyone else was that you were calling. So you got all this information.
I imagine the telephone operator knew quite a lot about what was going on in town as well, didn't she?
She used to tell me that I had a nice voice.
Is that right? Aside from knowing the voice of everybody in town. Look, Oria, I want to get back to more about Fairbanks and what Fairbanks was like in just a few minutes, but first we want to listen to a couple of messages.
Leslie's Beauty Supply invites you to visit their new store on Gaffney Road in Fairbanks. That's right, we now have two locations to serve you, in North Pole's Beaverbrook Mall and on Gaffney in Fairbanks. Leslie's Beauty Supply carries a full line of hair care products, as well as gels and acrylics to create gorgeous nails and all types of hair care accessories. Operators are welcome. That's at Leslie's Beauty Supply.
By now, you've probably heard of University Resume Service Alaska. Hi, I'm Phil Deischer, owner of University Resume. University Resume Service has been producing custom resumes in Fairbanks for 8 years. We are a professional writing business, and we have helped literally hundreds of people from every trade and profession sell themselves on paper. Professional writing is more than just typing. Indeed, professional writing is a unique skill, the way every profession is unique. Professional writing applied to your resume can give you the edge in landing the interview, which could lead to the job you want. A resume, which has numerous uses, usually takes about 2 hours to write. No more struggling over how to sell yourself on paper. In 2 hours or less, University Resume can have you armed with a custom resume and seeking the job you need for the career you want. For any kind of career writing, from resumes to loan applications, federal form SF-171 federal and state applications, call University Resume Service Alaska at 479-5747. For all types of professional writing, we're in the yellow pages under resumes.
One more time, I'd like to advise the listening audience that I'm here with Oria Hayden. If you have a question of Oria and like to give us a call here at KFAR Radio and Alaska Gold Trails, the number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. So give us a call. Oria, we were talking about Fairbanks and what it was like in the early days and the atmosphere. There was a lot of things going on in the 1930s in Fairbanks. There was a lot of mining. There was a lot of hunting. There was a lot of trapping. It was really a frontier community, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I wonder, you know, I'm not really clear about the ice carnival. They used to have an ice carnival here. And when I was a young boy, I participated in the ice carnival, but it didn't really strike home as it might have somebody that was a little older than I was. Mm-hmm. And could you run through it for me?
Well, to begin with, the winters were so long in Fairbanks, Alaska, that the people got together and decided they wanted something to break the monotony. So in March, they would have a 3 or 4 day ice carnival. By that, they would have games and concessions and booths and so forth, and they would have dances and different races, such as the dog races, and there would be a king and queen chosen. And my father decided to do the decorating, and he purchased different colored lights and Chinese lanterns and strung them up all over the streets of Fairbanks and on the bridge, the old bridge that was here that's in Nome, Alaska today. And he worked really hard, and it was very cold. I can remember him recruiting the natives from the different villages to help him, and then they would get free meals at the Model Cafe. But generally, he supported the whole bill himself. And it was just a real fun time. My stepmother used to burn little pennants and put green and yellow ribbons. That was the color, and the song was developed with Don Adler, I believe, is the one that wrote the song, and everybody would sing it during these days and in the schools as well. And it was just a real fun time.
Now, specifically, the dog races ran different distances, and they ran them up and down the Chena River.
Right.
Wasn't that right?
Yes.
And didn't they have incremental races, which were like a mile, 5 miles, 20 miles, and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
I do remember from time to time that the lads would come in, and after one of the longer races, and some of the dogs would be riding in the sleigh because they had, or the sled, because they had succumbed to the effects of the journey, I guess. And, of course, they got the free ride back home. At any rate, it was quite a festive occasion, and I remember a couple of people commenting on just, you know, they'd take a little bottle of brandy with them to keep the inside warm and keep the chill off. But we want to keep in mind, too, that the temperatures in March are starting to wane a bit. I wouldn't say that. It was starting to warm up.
Right.
Or, yeah. Let's see if somebody hasn't got a question for you. Hi, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Did you have a question for Oria?
Yes. I wanted to know if they had property taxes back then.
Did you have property taxes back then?
No, I don't believe so.
How's that? Did you? Because sounds like the tax issue coming onto Alaska Gold Trails. Did you have another question?
Yes, about the bridge that went to Nome. How was it transported and so on?
I don't even know that. I'm sorry, I can't tell you how it was transported. Probably with the overland equipment that they used that went up north to the up to Prudhoe Bay. They had great big equipment with big tires.
Were those called Rolligans?
I
think so. Big, similar to the Rolligans.
Yes.
Want to keep in mind that I don't know if everybody's familiar with the bridge that crossed the Chena, but it was it wasn't quite like the bridges today. It had a structure, an overhanging structure for support, and that whole thing. It wasn't flown up in parts, was it, Aria?
It was taken apart, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Uh-huh. Maybe somebody else has the answer to that question. Wouldn't mind phoning us
right.
in and giving
right.
us a little information on it.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call. Where were we? We were talking fur on
the carnival. Another thing is there was, every year there was some type of structure built out of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad would light that,
mm-hmm.
put all of his different colored lights on. It really was a beautiful sight.
Uh-huh. You know, this past year, they built the ice sculptures.
Yes.
Down in front, by the Catholic Church there. And there was that kind of thing going on, the kind of ice,
yes.
ice carving?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Was there any competition involved with that, or
no.
was it just
no, it was just one structure,
uh-huh.
generally, such as a log cabin one year, and an igloo another year, and a palace another year, and a throne another year, you know, just different ones.
Uh-huh.
And it was just the one structure that was built each year.
Aria, one more call here. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wondered, was that when they were curling on the ice and everything down in front of the MC company?
Yes, I believe that's where they were curling.
Yeah.
I know it was, so everything was pretty much done down on the river in those days, the ice rinks and the curling rink and everything.
The river was a lot more active or a lot bigger then, wasn't it?
I think at that time there wasn't... the power plant was right behind the old, where the Nordstrom building is now. And it didn't have all that steam going down into the slough. Therefore, it didn't rot the ice, so we could use that ice. It was a lot safer in those days.
And then the power plant was over the NC, or Nordstrom's is now.
In back of where Nordstrom's
where
is.
Where the parking
right.
lot is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then... you say they built ice sculptures. Did they import ice?
No, we did not import ice.
I just wondered about that. If they could build ice sculptures then without importing them, why we can't now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good question.
Thanks for the call. Oria, you live out in North Pole,
yes.
Do you? You know my friends out there, Hector's?
Yes.
Hector's? Hector, Terrio. I had Mrs. Terrio on the show here last spring, if I'm not mistaken. And I'd like to say a few words about Hector's. They're one of the sponsors here, and of course, that's Hector's Welding, and they're located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, and their phone number is 488-6432. That's where they are, and who they are, and what they do is very important to the mining industry of this, of interior of Alaska. They manufacture sluice boxes and mining equipment for the placer mining industry, and I'd like to point out that we're very proud of the type of equipment that Hector produces. It is the most efficient sluicing systems that are currently being constructed, not only here in Alaska, but elsewhere in the conterminous United States. In addition to that, I'd like to tell you a little bit about some of the characteristics of these boxes. Traditionally, sluice boxes were single-channel boxes used to wash the auriferous gravels, the gold-bearing gravel. And they found that by using multiple channel sluice boxes and classifying the material into finer and finer particles, that the miner could successfully extract finer and finer particles of gold and therefore collect more values from the gravels. Hector's initiative in this respect in producing the multiple channel sluice box right here in Fairbanks, Alaska, has led to an increased gold recovery here in the state and elsewhere, as I've pointed out. I'd also like to point out that Hector's has a variety of services out there that are particularly important to those people who have welding jobs, large or small. They, in addition to manufacturing mining equipment, they also replace dozer blade liners and they rebuild loader buckets and do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. All these things, of course, go hand in hand with the mining community, but they also have application to a wide variety of industries in the state. Also, one point that should be brought out here is that flocculants have begun to play a role in the placer mining industry of the state, and Hector's has taken the lead in stocking gel logs, and they are, in fact, the gel log distributors here in the state of Alaska, and they offer a free test kit, which is available simply by stopping out at Hector's and picking it up. And you have to keep that in mind that the test kit is free. So, in conclusion, wherever Alaska's miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Once again, they're located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, and their phone number is 488-6432. And by the way, if you drop out there, tell them you heard about their ad or their sponsorship of Alaska Gold Trails from Jim. And we're back with Oria, and she's going to give us some more history, but we're going to go back a few years, Oria. We're going to go back to the time when you first arrived here. Not the first year you arrived, not 1935, but the next year, the spring of 1936. We want to know what you did for the spring and the summer of 1936. Where'd you go, what did you do, and how did you do it?
Well, our father put us in an old Model T that belonged to Blanche Cascade and my aunt, and drove over what was beginning the road to Livingood. And we got so far, and then we had to be dragged through the mud with a cat that came out from the Livingood side. They had a road finished for 20 miles out, and the cat came and pulled us through. And we went up to her mining camp, up the creek in Livingood, and spent our summer rocking
Is that a dance?
Pile. No. Using an old rocker.
An old rocker. That must be some kind of gold retrieval device. Is that right?
Right. That's what it is. She had to have, she borrowed one from one of her neighbors. And put it all together for us, showed us how to do it. And each day we would go through the old pile. We had a pond of water, and we had an old can on a stick that we would, and we'd shovel in dirt and rocks and wash the dirt in the rocks, and it would go down through the sluice box. And each day we had a cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
We never left it in the boxes.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we would do. And then on other days when she was doing her open cut work, we would go out and help her with her sluicing, wash the rocks and throw the rocks out of the way and that sort of thing. And dig.
Now, this wasn't rocking when she was doing her open cut.
No, no, that wasn't rocking. She was just doing open cut, and then we would and be washing the water through and on the, through the dirt and okay. Go down through the sluice boxes, and we would get the big boulders out of the way and you know, wash them in the water and so forth.
Mm-hmm. How did they get the gravels into the sluice box entry chute? Did they have some kind of cat or a drag line? Or
she had a cat that pushed them in.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now, this was at Live and Good.
This was in Live and Good.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Live and Good is just about 70 miles from Fairbanks. Is that correct?
I think at that time it was 80-some miles. They have shortened it with the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the question that is burning in everybody's mind right at the moment is, after rocking all summer,
mm-hmm.
how much gold did we get?
You know, I can't remember. I know that Blanche put it into bonds.
Blanche put it into bonds?
For us. Yes, she put it in our name. In
U.S. savings bonds.
U.S. savings bonds, right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I couldn't even remember how many bonds now. Isn't that sad?
But you did get a little summer earnings out of that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well,
summer
good.
Earnings, right.
Good. Do you think today that people could go out and get a little earnings?
Oh, definitely, because at that time, gold was only $35 an ounce. Yeah.
Okay, and so today at $400-some an ounce, you think a person could...
I should say they ought to be able to.
They ought to be able to buy a few U.S. savings bonds.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like to know a little history about Live and Good?
I'd love to.
Okay. Live and Good is named after a fellow by the name of Jay Live and Good. And Jay Live and Good had a partner. And his partner's name was Hudson. And my aunt, Josie Shattuck, cooked for them. And she finally became a partner with them. But they didn't get along too well. So one day when they were... One of the fellows decided to make some coffee. So he left the mining site and went to make coffee. And the other fellow went ahead and did some panning. He discovered some very good colors. And so he ran to tell his partner. And his partner was so mad that he threw his hand out and knocked everything out all over the ground. And that's how Live and Good became named after Jay Live and Good.
I see. Did they at that time then split up as partners, or did they continue?
No, they continued on. They mm-hmm. disagreed a lot, but they did continue on.
Uh-huh. After your experience rocking mm-hmm. and Live and Good,
mm-hmm.
Did you return to Fairbanks then to go to school that
yes,
fall?
Yes, right.
And did you ever go back to Live and Good?
Oh, yes, in the summertime. And in those days, the Road Commission had the high school boys, many of the high school boys, working for them, and they would even be out there in the different camps. They had set one camp up the creek near where we lived, and on Saturday night, they'd go down to the inn and dance. They had,
They don't have a band, did they?
No, they didn't have a band.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah.
Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so they
took a lot of nickels. And that's what they would do on Saturday night. Everybody loved to dance. Even the cooks. Blanche had ground lease to Charlie Anderson, Charlie Peterson, and they had put in a drift mine.
Mm-hmm.
And their cook, Mrs. Walker, would go down there every Saturday night. Sometimes she'd even walk, and that was several miles. Into Live and Good to dance all night.
She was just getting warmed up.
to dance all night, and then she would walk right back and have breakfast on the table for everybody in the camp the next day.
Oh, what a chore. I'll say. Look, when you came back into town, you went to school, you went to the one school that was in Fairbanks at that time.
Fairbanks,
that was the main street school, wasn't it? When I came to Fairbanks, I went to the Main Street School. We called it Main Street School.
Did you? Uh-huh. And we always called it Main School, I guess.
Main School.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know why I had it in my mind that it was Main Street School over the years. But, yeah, it was Main. It was always Main. And it housed all the students from...
From kindergarten through high school.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. It still did that back in
right.
the days that I first came here,
right.
a couple of years ago.
There were just a little over 100 students in high school when I was there.
Mm-hmm. And you went then from 1935 and completed high school?
1941.
In 1941, did you ever adventure out into the university system?
Yes. In 1942, I went to school for one semester.
For one semester?
And then I married my husband.
I'll bet that was an adventure in itself. Look, I want to talk about one of my friends, and then I want to get back and talk to you a little bit about marrying your husband, about your marrying your husband. Folks, I want to take just a minute to talk about one of the people that sponsor this program, and that's B&L Pawn Shop. It's been a long time since I talked about B&L and gave all the data that they have to offer. They're located, of course, at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman, and a lot of the listening audience have given me the advertisement on B&L Pawn Shop. Most recently, their major contribution, of course, to aesthetics was the backside of the telephone directory, where they have a beautiful ad. And, of course, Killer over there at B&L was the person who took the photograph of Mount McKinley that appears in that particular ad. This B&L Pawn Shop, of course, has just about everything you could possibly want in terms of gear, ranging all the way from musical instruments to diamond rings to tools. And in addition, it should be pointed out that B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings. And in addition to the savings, Killer does something that it appears to me to be a little bit extra, and that is she says that if you will come in and say to her that you heard about B&L Pawn from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails, that she'll sweeten any deal that you can come up with. Now, how's that? Another little item that you might be interested in is if you're a little tight on money, they can help you out over there at B&L Pawn. So bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks will give you a loan or loan you the money to get through to some better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn. Once again, they're located at 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and of course Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, ask Killer. You just never know what they might do over there. That's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their phone number is 452-6491, and they're open from 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal for you. And once again, folks, I'd like to point out that we're here with Ori Hayden. If you'd like to give Ori a call, the number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. Oria, tell me something. There's something, this. What happened? You went to college and you did what?
We eloped.
My husband
and I.
What's your husband's name?
Clifford Lloyd Hayden.
Clifford Lloyd Hayden. And where did you meet this dazzling young man? Was he going to college?
No, my father brought him home one day. Dad worked in the power plant at Ladd Field, and he used to invite a number of different people to our home for coffee, and one day Cliff appeared.
For coffee?
For coffee. That's how I met him. And then I went to work. It was right after my first semester out at the university. I was working at Ladd Field in the main hangar. And I used to go right by the power plant each day with my paperwork, and Cliff would come out and talk to me. So he started taking me home because we were both working the night shift. And then he proposed to me.
Now, wait a minute here. Yeah. I think the listening audience should know something. That over in the corner sits Cliff Hayden here in the studio. And he's making some funny motions here. But I have to clarify one thing. Now, he was taking you home from time to time.
Yes, right. Uh-huh.
And so this one day he was taking you home and he suddenly proposed to you?
Right. Well, actually, he proposed to me on our very first date. The night of the midnight sun. It was after the midnight sun dance, June 21st.
He was an aggressive little guy, wasn't he? And tell me, what happened? You got married. Tell me about...
Okay, well, we were engaged first couple of weeks, and Cliff kept saying, we better get married pretty soon. And he didn't tell me why, but he was going to be shipped out, and I had no idea. So I told my stepmother, Cliff and I really want to get married. We don't want to wait till next year. And she said, well, no, you can't. You've got to promise me not to. So one day, I just couldn't take it any longer. We went down and got our license, and we went out and got his trunk, and we rushed back to town and took his trunk to Herb Kosky's home. And Herb was a stutterer. So Herb was to take me up to the house to get my clothes. He took me up to the house, and while I was getting my clothes, first of all, I wrote a note out saying what I was going to do. And in the meantime, my stepmother drove into the yard, and I knew she'd find the note. Poor Herb was sitting there, stuttering with all he could think about. He was so scared he didn't know what to do. So he drove out of the yard. So I went out the back door, running with an armload of clothes down the street. Cliff came up First Avenue, and he saw me running with all these clothes, and he said, what happened to Herb? And I said, I don't know. He left me. So then he said, well, come on, we'll go over to his house. So we went over to his house and put my things in the trunk, and we were getting ready to leave, and Herb had come back in the meantime, and he was shaking our hands, and here comes my stepmother down the street. She spotted us, and Cliff spotted her, but Herb didn't see it. And I was trying to get rid of Herb, and I said, Herb, here she comes, and he grabbed his hand away, and off we went. Well, the light was in our favor, so we got across the bridge safely, and she had to wait for the light. We got way away from her because our pickup was newer than hers, so she never knew whether we went to Lighting Good or Circle Hot Springs, and so since she didn't know why, she couldn't find us to stop it.
Fascinating story, Oria. Thanks so much for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails today. It's been a pleasure having you.
You're welcome.
Folks, thanks for joining us today on Alaska Gold Trails. This is Jim Madonna saying, have a nice week. Happy holidays. Next week's guest, well, you're not going to believe it. It's going to be Cliff Hayden right here on KFAR.